Sir Camaro Jackson, KLD. Let's put all the meat in the match. Fantastic.
That is a big meaty match, but if KLD were to lose this weekend and be forced to retire, who would enforce that? Is there a governing body in place that enforces these kind of things? Because I know Missouri has an athletic commission, and in my experience, they are good for absolutely nothing. So maybe they should start enforcing these kinds of things.
We have chat on the Missouri Athletic Commission quite a few times.
Yeah.
And Jamie, I didn't think it could get any worse than the Missouri Athletic Commission as far as governing professional wrestling.
You know, the state of Missouri is ridiculous. Like, let's just all around. Like, I live in Missouri. You know, I know. You know, I mean, that's why I don't root for their college sports here. Because it's just ridiculous. They think they're bigger than they really are. That's kind of the Missouri shtick. But you know who's worse? There's people actually worse than the Missouri Athletic Commission. And I never thought I would ever, ever, ever say that.
Well, I want to know more about that. I'd like to get some knowledge on that.
Well, as a person overflowing with knowledge and also familiar with several state athletic commissions, let me learn you up a little bit.
let's go.
This week's stash of knowledge was going to be very brief, but we'll add a little discussion. It was just going to be, fuck the Oklahoma Athletic Commission. Although, it does need to be expanded to fuck all athletic commissions. They are useless in terms of professional wrestling. Mixed martial arts, boxing, things like that, there's a need for that. They do nothing for pro wrestling, but sometimes doing nothing is the best you could hope for from a state athletic commission when it comes to pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Often they actively work against pro wrestling. And if you were not plugged into the internet today, you might have missed the recent story of AEW rolled through Oklahoma recently. I believe it was Tulsa they were in in the last month or so. And one Nyla Rose, the Native Beast, competed on that show. Don't remember who she wrestled, but I do gotta say, every time I catch Nyla Rose, I am always thoroughly entertained. Love some Nyla Rose. Apparently, the Oklahoma Commission does not.
I do want to say, a quick side note to build here too. The only Native American on AEW's roster in Oklahoma. Just going to throw that out there, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would think for a great many reason they would be a little extra sensitive towards that. But no, because athletic commissions are useless. They released a report of some findings today where I guess they confirmed what is publicly available information that Nyla Rose is a transgender person. And in the state of Oklahoma, women cannot wrestle men. Now, this should not be a problem, because if you are a trans woman, you can as a woman for pro wrestling and for most practical effects. If we're getting into a medical thing, maybe there's something else. But generally speaking, why does it matter? Apparently, to the Oklahoma Athletic Commission, it does matter. They had to add a little more context. I actually knew two wrestlers down in Oklahoma that is just part of a battle royal. One was a male, one was a female. They interacted in a battle royal briefly and were both suspended by the commission for like 6 months. Because that's the work Oklahoma's taxpayers are paying for down there. So they came out, and I don't think they've announced just yet what actions they are going to take. They did say it'll probably be similar to the last time something like this happened, and they will just send a letter to AEW saying, don't do it again. But the worst part was them actively misgendering Nyla throughout their entire letter of findings. In case you were wondering, fuck the Oklahoma Athletic Commission and every other state athletic wrestling commission there is.
Perfect. Take them all down.
This is a form of entertainment.
Yes. This is
athletic. It's athletic. And for somebody who's wrestled for a while, gotten hurt, can attest to that, Austin. You can, but it is entertainment first.
you go to quite a few local indie shows, and it's a lot less athletic than you would think.
We know.
Yeah.
We know.
but also, like, it is entertainment more than anything else. It is no different. Now, I understand a big TV production comes through. Maybe it's a little different, but your local indie in Oklahoma, it is the exact same thing as community theater. No one's regulating that. It's some people getting together on the weekend to put on a show for some folks.
Yep.
Do people get hurt occasionally? Yeah. Do more people get hurt working in an Amazon warehouse? All the time. They don't seem to mind when that kind of stuff's going down. But God forbid Nyla Rose go out there and entertain a couple thousand people on a Saturday night or a Wednesday night, whichever night it was that they were out there. Just absolute clown business by the state of Oklahoma.
I do like the response, Jamie, of the internet wrestling community, for the most part, has done the right thing today in response, for the most part, right? And if you follow a lot of wrestlers on Twitter, like we all do, they absolutely did the rest thing. Because I lost count of the number of wrestlers that says, well, I'm not working in Oklahoma. I'm not working in Oklahoma. I'm not working in Oklahoma.
And that's the worst part about this. It's only going to hurt pro wrestling in Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
Good chance AEW just decides, well, we will skip Tulsa and Oklahoma City when we're rolling through the Midwest or the Southwest or whatever you want to call Oklahoma. But again, like big name pro wrestlers, like I understand them being like, I'm not going to roll through doing an indie shot in Oklahoma and deal with that shit. Not that Oklahoma gets a lot of names rolling through anyway, but that ends up only hurting the other people involved in pro wrestling in the state of Oklahoma.
I mean, Oklahoma's an old hotbed, old territory hotbed, though. You know.
Yeah. What else is there to do? I've driven through Oklahoma many times.
Well,
the only thing they got going for them is honestly softball,
and a lot of CBD dispensaries. Not weed because it's not legal, but there's a CBD dispensary on every single corner.
No, it is legal down there. Medical only, though.
Oh, is it now legal? Okay, all right. Last time I rolled through there a couple years ago, it wasn't legal quite yet.
Yeah, it's medical only because like as soon as you cross the border, you start seeing but yeah, it's medical.
It's hilarious. I was going down 69 when I went to Dallas to go to that concert a few years back, right? And every little podunk small town that you run through, right? Very typical, like middle Oklahoma, like you think, right? CBD, 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 CBD. There's like 13 of them on like a 2-block radius. It's like, what is going on here? Jesus.
So we have a question from Rob in chat asking for wrestlers, is there a mentality to treat wrestling as a sport or as an entertainment industry?
Oh, that's a good question, Rob.
That is a great question, Rob. And it's a question that really depends on who you ask. There are some people that absolutely treat this like a sport. And those people often take this a little too seriously. Me personally, I treat this as pure entertainment. It happens to be athletic in nature. The sport is the thing that kind of just gives context to the entertainment. It's a guiding force. So you have a reason why these two dudes in Speedos are oiled up pretending to beat the shit out of each other. you want it to look like a sport because it needs to resemble some kind of thing. So your audience largely understands what's going on. In my opinion, outside of that, it is 100% entertainment. The sport does not matter. I am just as entertained going back and watching Doink and Marty Jannetty from 1993 as I was watching Will Ospreay and Claudio tonight. And one was a much better match than the other. But for me, as long as I'm entertained, if I laughed or if I had someone I wanted to win, someone I wanted to lose, like if I can just enjoy the show and be entertained, that's pro wrestling to me. So you might get a different answer from other wrestlers. Some people like to really treat this like it's this big, important sport. But to me, this is entertainment at its best, and it doesn't need to be more than that. Yeah, that should have been the stash of knowledge, if we're being honest.
Yeah, and honestly, that's really weird because, like, your wife is literally the most serious wrestler I've ever seen in my whole entire life. And she is very much a sport driven wrestler.
Yeah. She's basically Bob Backlund.
100%.
I mean, it's like you're watching Greco-Roman. It's like you're watching, Iowa Duels or something, which is hilarious. Yeah,
like,
too,
professional wrestle.
Because it's like you take a professional wrestler and show them like collegiate wrestling, like big collegiate wrestling, like Iowa, Oklahoma, go figure, Missouri, by the way, Ohio State, Penn State, right? You know, you some one of the bigs where they actually like sell out the arena, right? And you have 15, and you show like a professional wrestling fan that, and they're just like, okay, it's not the same. This is like actual wrestling, and this is professional wrestling.
As someone who did wrestle in college, a lot more people have come to see me on a pro wrestling show than ever watched me on an amateur wrestling match at any point in time. It was my parents, maybe if they were free that weekend, because they were very supportive parents. I don't want to like underscore that. But an amateur wrestling tournament, if you've never been or participated in high school, you weigh in around 6 to 7 a.m. You might wrestle 3 to 4 times throughout the day if you're good and you win a few times. And those matches typically happen like at least 3 hours apart. So for someone to go spectate that, it is a long and boring day. And that's why professional wrestling exists. You take something like, hey, two dudes with nothing but their bare hands, who's the better man? Who's going to win? And as soon as you realize, oh, they're just kind of hugging for 90% of this, you realize you can start throwing some fake punches and people enjoy watching the shit. And that's pro wrestling.
Well said.
Well, just another reason for me to say fuck Oklahoma. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, except for Arbuckle Mountain Fried Pies. If you've never been, it's right off I-35, right outside of Ardmore. Delicious.
Arbuckle Mountain Fried Pies.
Yeah, so they're like fried hand pies, which is basically
I know
like
fried pies are. I am salivating.
For anyone listening that is not familiar, imagine a calzone, but the outside is funnel cake, and the inside is any number of variety of things they'll fill it with. There's breakfast ones, there's pizza ones, there's a chicken pot pie one. There's fruit filling if you're more of a classic fried pie kind of guy.
An apple.
Yeah, that was probably better than any promo I've cut in my pro wrestling career. And it was putting over Arbuckle Mountain Fried Pies. Every time we drive down to Texas, we stop there. It's delicious. We actually got a magnet of theirs on our fridge. We like it so much. The only redeeming thing of Oklahoma is Arbuckle Mountain Fried Pies.
Can you get them shipped?
I don't know, but I'm sure they have a website. I would imagine like if they could ship
next time
like
you go, I expect to...
I'll keep an eye out next time we're rolling through because yeah,
oh my God. It's the third thing that pops up as soon as I put Arbuckle in. Just saying. Let's see. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Oh, you can shop. No, you can't. There's just the one. Yeah.
We'll get to Dynamite eventually, folks. We're doing important work.
So there's one in Arkansas, one in Alma, there's one in Wichita.
Is one in Wichita. Hell yeah. I didn't even know that.
And then there's a whole bunch in Oklahoma.
You live in Wichita. How do you not know this?
I don't go freestyling around Wichita very often. I technically live outside of Wichita. I'm in a little town called Valley Center. We venture into like 2 or 3 spots in town when we need to, but I like sitting at home and watching old wrestling and playing video games.
I hear you.
I also have a town bar 2 blocks away, so like I literally don't have to leave the vicinity of my home.
Don't have to leave your street.
Yeah, the bar is right next door to the gym, and they are both about a quarter mile from my house.
And you work from home. So.
And I work from home. There's and on the walk there is a Mexican restaurant, a little place with some barbecue, a barber, and a Sonic. Like, I'm covered. Living in paradise.
All right, so my next cheat day, I'm going to try to find one of these things.
This is now the highly third week consecutively that we have diverged into food. I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't the Fat Boys have started this time?
That's true. There's a skinny guy.
Bruh, I would imagine on a pretty decent clip, I'm up there and eating with most heavier set people. I just have to work out a lot. But I also have to go get in a ring and spandex underpants on a fairly recent or frequent occurrence. So I got motivation to stay on top of that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So we're talking a little bit of Dynamite, gentlemen's.
I think we should talk about the Dynamites.
I'm surprised we're not talking about Dynamite right now.
I know.
Let's do it.
So quick question. To go home or not to go home? That is the question. And AEW has a track record of not going home very well. The past two have been very good. Gentlemen, was this a real go-home show for you?
For me, it was. But it was more than that for me as well.
Ooh.
Last week was a straight ratings grab. We all know that. The world knows that. More or less, it worked, right? They got a bigger number. They got a bump in viewership. The show was not good. And we were very, very, very vocal about that, right? This felt like the, hey, let's get back to AEW stuff. Let's do AEW things, right? It wasn't the greatest show they've done, but it was back on point with what I expect when I turn my TV on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I think it did do a good job as a go-home show. I feel like Saturday setting up more as a go-home just from the build they have for Saturday, to be honest, though.
Yeah, that's completely fair. I didn't even realize this was the go-home show, even though they kept saying Dynamite is on Sunday, and I know Dynasty is on Sunday. But it never, like, clicked for me that this was the go-home. I just thought this was, like, a real fun and solid episode of Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, JJ, they did announce quite a few things for Saturday that made Saturday seem more like a go-home show. And
right.
I think that's kind of what made this seem a little bit less like a go-home show, is you're putting these featured talents that are in these big matches in more matches the night before your pay-per-view, right. Which is pretty rad.
And that's the trouble with having the two-show thing. WWE struggled this for a long time too, Jamie, about your Raw go-home, your SmackDown go-home. This is your Dynamite go-home, and you have a Collision go-home, right? Mm-hmm. What do you? Or I mean, it's a juggling match of sorts.
I think it does a good job of enticing you to tune into Collision, though.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, you don't, because I feel like previous pay-per-views, you didn't really feel like you needed to watch the Collision before to see all the stories leading into the pay-per-view. Even if there were things that happened on those that you might have missed, it didn't seem important. They built up some good matches for Collision, and they made it seem like a more important stop on the way to the pay-per-view, which, the more of your time you have on TV you can make seem important and a big deal, it's probably for the best. So mm-hmm. I will be wrestling here in Wichita for Heartland Championship Wrestling at the Osage County Recreation Center, if you're in the area, Saturday night. But I will probably catch Collision Sunday morning because it looks pretty solid.
I will be coaching softball Saturday. I would be there.
Jamie run down his Saturday for me last night at bowling, and it was like, I do not remember you, my man.
I'm literally going to be at the ball fields from at minimum 10 a.m. till 10 p.m.
At part of that day, he has to be in two places at once somehow.
Yeah. that does not sound like my ideal Saturday.
Folks, here's your PSA. Pull out. So you know, I thought I agree with your sentiments on Dynamite tonight. I thought it had go home feels, but not full on committed go home. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, hey, we want to go home, but not really. We're going to make Saturday more of a go home, even though we are kind of going home here. Because honestly, guys, it was a decent show tonight. I have no bad things. And the number one thing I want to say is John Moxley's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And Jesus.
You know what John Moxley and yours truly have in common?
Not hair.
We are both holders of prestigious world titles.
Okay, okay.
Are you, though?
I mean, he has a belt on his little logo there.
Are you?
You didn't send him the belt?
Are you holding my championship? No, I could not in good conscience send Jamie the belt.
Dude.
Here's the thing. It was the equivalent of the ref kind of seeing the cheating, and you can't let it go. Now, he didn't cheat. I will be fair and say he did not cheat. He took advantage of me in a NyQuil'd up state, fighting off a sickness that would have killed any normal man. But I still got on my phone to make those picks, and I was 99% locked in. And that one little second, NyQuil got to me. I slipped up. I didn't pick the right thing, even though I was going to pick Awesome Truth. I think there might have been some kind of collusion. I'm not going to say for sure. Some research needs to be done. I think if you saw DIY twice, you should have known. Yeah, that's probably not what he meant. But apparently, it's an everyone look out for themselves.
I would collude with the FWO. You're saying that.
It's all a conspiracy. Y'all could be getting in. I don't know, but I got my suspicions. So, because I have so much respect for this championship and its distinguished lineage, I could not let, in good conscience, Jamie take this beautiful trophy.
Wow.
Until he earned it. So coming up this Sunday at Dynasty, he's got another chance to earn it. And if he earns it, I will hand him this belt like a man. But until then, I am the rightful champion, no matter what the record book says. That's a pro wrestling promo, folks.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but there's this old adage that in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I am
the man. No, you're the man pretending to be the man. I am the man being the man who will still be the man Sunday night.
It's not a man. Just a dude playing another dude who's dressed like a dude.
You're just a dude dressed as a dude disguised as another dude. I've held that belt more times than Ric Flair's had belts, period. That is my baby.
That means you lost this belt more times than Ric Flair, who lost the belt more than anyone else.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, R-Truth lost that 24/7 championship a whole bunch of times, but we still love him.
You know R-Truth.
Moral of the story, folks.
Moral of the story is I'm the champion, and John Moxley is the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Thank you. This will be determined this weekend. Tune in next week. We'll have the results of the Dynasty picks. Hopefully, everybody will be in the right state of mind. There'll be no asterisks to be, you know, thrown by anybody. We will see.
And still, but kind of new, me. Undisputed.
Did not mail you the belt. That's cold. That's cold, Scythe.
I mean, that's a straight heel move. And
I'm not bringing the postal service into this travesty. I have already emailed President Jack Tunney. I will get to the bottom of this.
Hey, I'm not above a old school, you know, just a regular old schoolboy roll up and holding on to them tights just a little bit. I'm not above that. Not above it. And neither are you.
So Moxley finally back. I thought it was a fantastic. I'm getting us back on track, ladies and gentlemen. I thought it was a fantastic way to start the show, especially again last week. It rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Everything that was done, right? So how do you combat that? John Moxley, killer promo, fantastic promo come out. Still hate that belt. Never gonna change. I do not like the IWGP belt, but I think it's awesome that he has it.
Even belt.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
I heard something that they might try to retire it.
I heard that too. That they're thinking about different.
But I still want the Winged Eagle back in WWE. But that's another story. Which I heard that actually might be happening.
It could be happening.
Why not? You would sell so many like replica belts out of nostalgia. Not that you probably couldn't order one now, but like
you can.
It's you would sell a lot more if you brought it back, and you don't even like just bring it back for as long as Cody's champ, and then come up with some other new design that looks kind of dumb that just has your giant W in the middle, so indie companies can't take one of your belts and just doctor it up to make their own, because that's why they do that.
Yeah,
true. But can we talk about? I mean, just take a little side note here. Did you guys see the new World Tag Team Championships? They're changing back the names of the Raw and SmackDown. I mean, WWE's belt design has been on fire, you know, the World Championship, the Women's World Championship, now the World Tag Team Championship. It's got a feel of the old NXT UK, you know, how they had that kind of, you know, style. It feels more like a prestigious belt than just a giant fucking logo.
Yeah, these are a step up from the tag belts that just kind of looked like your main belts, but like two of them. They were on a pretty rough run of belt design for a while there. And they can and should be better. This was a good step. You know what? These remind me of the old ECW tag titles a bit. I think we're the ones that kind of had that.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, but like there's talks of the Winged Eagle, like they're going to have kind of a Winged Eagle with the big W in the middle of the globe.
Well,
I've
heard the rumor that Cody wants to change the name of the title back, you know, to WWE Championship, but also there would be a new belt.
I'm calling it the Universal anything. Like that's
undisputed that's just Universal Champion.
Well, hold on, gentlemen. I don't know if like a lot of things have been changing in the Fed, and I know we're gonna get in the Fed, but they're not calling it the Universal anymore.
Good.
They're not even calling their fans the Universe anymore either.
Oh.
They actually use the F word.
Oh, shut up.
Please stop. I can only get so erect.
And when Tama Tonga came in, they let him keep his gimmick name, which has been a long-standing Vince McMahon role. Let him keep his gimmick name.
That's awesome.
That would be such an improvement if they stick with it in their product of just not hiding the fact that you're a pro wrestling show and just using terms pro wrestling fans know. Like you don't have to like use the behind the scenes terms and stuff, but yeah, they are fans. You can call them. That was a Vince McMahon thing, is they're not fans, they're the Universe. No, they're fans. And like, that's cool. Like being fans of stuff is what everyone does. Like it's a totally normal thing. You don't have to like be weird about that. You don't have to make everything just hyper-branded to WWE specific. Yeah, the guy's name's Tama Tonga, which is a dope name for the giant, scary Samoan dude.
It is.
Just let him be that, because he's already real successful as that. Stop changing everything that already worked for no goddamn reason.
And, you know, maybe only 30% of your audience is familiar with his work, right? But doesn't matter. They're going to pop extra hard, you know?
Yeah, and like our household popped, but then like you heard the crowd, they're like half of them like, oh, that's Tama Tonga. The other half are like, who's that?
Who's you know, that? It's like, and you got Corey Graves trying to explain to everybody, he's over in Japan, you know, which is fine.
Pat McAfee.
I can't remember who. Real quick, I got to throw out just a tiny supplemental stash of knowledge. Just like as a wrestling community in general, can we get away from the who's that for most of the people?
Oh please,
just
watch them.
Just you're gonna find out who they are. Like even if you don't know, it's a big scary Samoan guy, and he's gonna beat up everyone else. Like we're gonna learn about him. Like that's you don't always have to know who they are. They don't always. It's like sometimes on TV shows, a character just shows up that you haven't seen before. You watch him interact with the people you know. You form an opinion. That's just storytelling. So can we just as a wrestling community just stop with the oh, who's that? No one knows who it is. It's cool. Well, they're gonna like give it the next 10 minutes. You'll get an idea. And if you like it, tune in and watch a little bit more.
Yeah.
Two stashes, one night. How about that?
Yeah. I'm overflowing with knowledge tonight.
Two stashes, one show. I've seen a video similar to that.
Oh. John Moxley.
Yeah. So he comes in, cuts promo. He's back. He calls out the Don Callis family, calls Callis a creep, which I thought was just, yes, please. You know, he's feeding his faction lies and all those things. And, like, you know, I am really excited that we got Moxley back, and I'm really even more excited the fact that we got Moxley, like, calling out Callis and the family. Like, that whole thing is just, it writes itself.
Yeah. Starting with Hobbs next week.
Yeah. Talk about big, meaty men slapping meat.
Well, that's a Moxley thing. Moxley 100% is going to be that. Yeah, give me the super massive, double wide black guy. I want him. I'm going to start with him. You know, that's...
He's Achilles.
But
John Moxley is Achilles.
But absolutely. But what it is, I mean, if AEW ever needs a shot in the arm, they got a good old failsafe. Oh, they still have John Moxley. Put him out there. Lead with Moxley.
Yeah, Mox is just cool. Like, that was the vibe I got as soon as the show kicked off. And it almost seems like, especially after last week, the show just felt cooler by having Jon Moxley walk out there at the beginning and talk about all the guys whose asses he's going to kick. Like, it's not the same gimmick. It's not the same hype that there was at the time, but he scratches that Stone Cold itch from the Attitude Era. Like, if he shows up, someone's getting their ass kicked, he's going to say some tough stuff, he's going to look real cool, and then he's going to dip out. Great way to start the show. Like, it immediately got me locked back in after last week was a little down.
Yeah, then it followed right up with Mercedes Moné wanting to know who attacked her.
But I'm gonna take over. I'm going to say this.
Okay.
This is not the highest bar. I know this. But this was her best promo in AEW.
I mean,
because she had that edge, that I'm going to find the bitch out sort of edge, right? She's like, ooh, the heel's starting to pop. It's peaking. It's right. It's just at the curtain, just like, it's there. You can sense it a little bit in her because, yeah, it wasn't just the straight scripted. I'm so happy. Money, right? It had a little bit of an edge to it.
I'm so happy.
I'll give you that this was her best AEW promo, but this was still a waste of TV time.
It is not a high bar. I prefaced that.
She's on the card.
So my problem with the last couple of weeks of Mercedes Moné's promos, she's just kind of narrating what's going on, but not really like contributing anything to the story. This promo is basically her just saying, I got jumped last week. I want to get the person back. I know who usually turns off the lights to jump people, but maybe it was the other person I could be feuding with coming out of this. Like, yes, you told us the two options of people we've seen in the last few weeks you're feuding with. We understand everything you just said. Like, you don't have to fill us in on that. Let us know what you actually think about it. Because the little moment she did where I'm going to get the bitch who did this, like... That did lock you in a little bit. Like, okay, yeah, that's something from you. But then it went straight in back into, here's a series of events that have unfolded over the last week or so that you watched on this program. That's just kind of where we're at. And that's it. It just seems pointless. It doesn't add anything. I would rather have her just like talk naturally and be her and just start. Tell me CEO things. Like, you throughout the promo, she kept saying, but because I'm the CEO, but then followed it up with just something that any random wrestler would do in the given situation. Like, why are you the CEO? Give us more on that. Or cut your promo from an office. Have an assistant or something. Maybe someone's trying to reach you on the phone.
Go full business mode on this gimmick. Like, you know.
Yeah, like, that at least we're getting some character. And we're getting more about, like, who she is and why she's here. Like, she said she's coming for a title. But give us more of who she is. Not just a summary of the events we watched on TV.
Unfortunately, it's 7 days ago. It's going to be a slow grind to get Mercedes to where it's the enjoyable version of Mercedes. But Tony's not going to put her on. He's not going to not put her on TV every week. No chance.
Yeah. And in hot take, gentlemen, no one attacked her.
Ooh, I like that.
She's the one who attacked Willow. She's the one that's going to be heel. And then finally she's relevant again because everybody knows Mercedes / Sasha, the best version of her is a heel. And it is so damn good. And I want that because honestly, if you really think about it, WWE, right? Or not WWE, AEW really doesn't have a heel because everybody loves Tony, even though Tony's supposed to be a heel. They don't have that true top female heel right now.
No. Julia's like, she's a heel technically, but it's also kind of House of Black, so it's...
But she's hurt, so there's that too.
And she's hurt, but it's also its own separate thing. It's not really like heel or face, it's House of Black, whatever, yeah. Right?
They also don't really have a baby face either, which is the problem. They have a few likable characters, but they really don't have, like you're saying, a top heel, but they don't really got a top baby face either. They're in a very weird spot with the women's division where, and we talk about it all the time, they just need to tell better stories with those women.
Jamie Hayter, when she comes back.
But I mean, you've got Statlander kind of doing the half turn, and she's partnered with Willow. And it is fair to say that Willow is a babyface, but she's also not necessarily been utilized like that top good guy because they've been associating her with bad guys. I think Willow absolutely could be your top babyface and should be, if we're being honest. But tell better stories with the women's division. I know we ask all the time, but you're almost there. You're so close. Just like dial it in.
I saw an interesting graphic on Twitter today. I don't know who made it, but it basically broke down the whole roster in like a pictorial fashion and put them into like who's in what stories, ROH, right? All this, and who's like kind of who's on the injured list, right? And who's on the... They have like basically four stories going on right now. There's a TBS title picture. They have the TNT or the world title picture. They have a thing they're doing on Saturday nights between Serena Deeb and I can't remember who else it was, but they got a little story going with that. They still got the story going on with Ruby Soho, Saraya and Harley Cameron. And then they broke it all down there. And it's like, people are like, well, they don't do anything with the women. And if you actually look at that, you're like, well, actually they do. But to your point, everything's very much in that shade of gray, right?
They're not really getting you behind anybody.
Or getting you to hate anybody.
Yeah.
You're kind of halfway between on everybody.
They're so close. Just be a little bit better and you'd have some great stories. But
yeah. Well, you know,
we can be tweeners. Speak of non-tweener, though, you had Willow Nightingale, who was attacked, so it became a handicap match for Copeland versus Julia Hart. Sorry, because the regular Julia is going to be in NXT, and Brody King, and this was a handicap match. So you kind of figured out how this one turned out.
But Willow did come out.
Eventually did make it.
Yep.
It's an old code, but it checks out. Like, that's one of my favorite tropes in wrestling is the injured baby face. Yeah, I stole your gimmick, too. I got the belt, and I'm taking the gimmick. I'm coming for it all. One of my favorite tropes in wrestling is the one half of the babyface team gets injured and taken to the back, or they get jumped before the match, and then right in time for the hot tag, they come hobbling down the ramp to come in and kick ass. Like, it's pro wrestling at its finest, man.
I loved seeing Willow doing moves on Brody King.
Yeah.
Take that, Oklahoma. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, she even did the whole like the barking before she did her cannonball, which was so good. And kudos to the Indianapolis crowd. They were actually a fantastic crowd tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the end, Julia, like you mentioned, hurt. But they are protecting her, at least to get her through her match on Sunday, right? She did hardly anything in this match. But she did come in with a chain around her hand. At the very end, socked Willow, put her in her submission move. They got the victory.
Yep.
It's a good use of a hurt champion talent on your main TV, right? You know, the way they did it all was very well thought, I will put it that way. It's a decent start to the show, too. It was fun. It was good fun. Adam Copeland, it's always good.
I hate to throw this out there because it would mean basically eliminating one of two women's matches on the show Sunday. But with Julia being hurt, I would like to see something where she gets jumped behind before the match. And you basically have Willow have that babyface moment of, do I really win the title this way? Like, she basically comes out almost unable to compete. I think that's a good character moment for Willow. And if Julia really is hurt, it kind of keeps from having to wrestle hurt. But then at the same time, it also gets rid of one of two women's matches on the pay-per-view, which is not ideal. Unless they were to bait and switch.
I could see them pulling in Mercedes into that. You know, Mercedes is the one who may have attacked Julia.
What if Julia gets jumped before the match of the pay-per-view and Mercedes comes out and says, as the CEO, I've put myself into this match? Because she keeps saying she's a CEO. Apparently, I'm assuming it's of AEW. I don't have any information otherwise.
He's the CEO of AEW last week.
It seems unlikely because they already announced Double or Nothing. But
yeah,
that's one of those things I think heats you right back up with Mercedes Moné after a few weeks of kind of being iffy on it. Have her sub in as the heel, beat Willow for the title there, lead to the rematch at Double or Nothing. You got a fun little story there. We're brought into the women's division again.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do something creative with the match there, because it's very obvious that Julia needs she's got to get some rehab going, right? You know, she literally did nothing this entire match until the very end, where she had a very safe, planned, you know, chain around the fist shot and a submission. So I'm sure they'll have something up their sleeve.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, it's more promos, of course. Renee had a sit down with good old Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe cut a typical Samoa Joe promo.
He's so good at that. I could listen to Samoa Joe talk all day long.
I have few words to describe how great Samoa Joe is, other than just amazing. He's just such a professional, dude. Like, it doesn't matter who he's going against. It doesn't matter, whatever. He can just get that. He could just have a killer promo. Hell, you have a killer promo about a freaking bag of sand, you know? And here you go. And you're amped for it.
Remember on Being the Elite when Eddie Kingston was newly signed to AEW, and they had him on Being Elite cutting promos on whatever they could find? They just picked the thing up, cut a promo on this, and he would. You can do that with Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got that presence where no matter what he's saying, you just take him seriously and you're interested in what's coming out of his mouth.
Which is why he was the perfect transitional champion. And I don't even want to put him as a transitional champion, but let's be real. It is what it is, right?
I mean, he's had it for pretty much a fiscal quarter now. That's an all right little run.
It's not like a 2 week reign. Like apparently
I thought he was losing it at Revolution. I thought it was going to be a real quick turnaround on it.
According to Austin, like Jamie's going to have, but
Jamie's reign will be stricken from the books upon my rightful recrowning on Sunday.
You know, if I lose it in 2 weeks, it'll still be longer than JJ's last.
I said, you know, guys, I could win this motherfucker too. All right, I'm in this competition just as much as you are. You do both realize this, right?
No.
Wait, does JJ play the pick'em game too?
I think right, so.
Rob's going to join me. It's going to be me and Rob from here on out. I'm kicking you out.
Yeah. You know, we'll come up with the True TV supplemental pay-per-view championship belt, and we'll be going for the main belt.
The Investigation Discovery Transcontinental Championship. The IDTCC.
Yes.
So much. So much. All right. There was a match after this. It seemed like tonight was let's do a bunch of like big tag matches, right?
Yeah, no video package for FTR though. No video package for FTR Young Bucks.
I mean, they just, and it's the same thing every week. But it's fantastic. The shtick. They're Are you still enjoying the shtick? The EVP shtick, Austin.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
So good.
Their best work. It's their best
this
work.
I've said it several times since they started doing it. This is the most interested I've ever been in the Young Bucks. Outside of their matches, because they're always fun to watch, but them as on-screen characters, this is perfect for them, and it fits them perfectly. It's always an entertaining use of time when they're doing this shtick on TV, without fail.
I mean, you had an amazing six-man tag of the Young Bucks, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada.
Very good. All
his right. Passport name.
Don't want to get fined.
I don't want to get fined. Going up against Pac, Daniel Garcia, and Penta Gone Jr. I don't care what this is. I just can't do the
Penta. It bothers you so much. It's so much, right?
It drives me so much. It just drives me nuts. Like, he's Penta Gone Jr. That's it. I mean, it didn't last a whole lot. I mean, like, it was a good match, but there was, gentlemen, I don't know if you saw this, there was an interview with the Young Bucks promoting the show, mm-hmm. and they did say that there could be some surprises in Dynasty, and I think it's going to be directly with their match.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that.
Hmm? Kenny Omega.
I was thinking of a different gentleman with curly blonde hair. Blondish, I guess. A little more brown. But
I was thinking one Kenny Omega sides with FTR and causes them to lose, so FTR gets the belts.
I think Kenny
Omega was still a little ways out. He had to have
show up.
Last I heard, it was still in the air if he was ever going to be back.
I've had a perforated colon. I had just a perforation in my colon. I don't have like diverticulitis like he has. He has to basically have his colon replaced, more or less. The whole fucking
just a piece of it.
Hopefully, that's all it needs.
I thought with this, you were going towards Jungle Man scapegoat Jack Perry coming out and costing FTR the match.
I could see that too.
I would love
so that. I was giving Dude. The giving both sides because obviously the scapegoat has been getting a lot of traction lately. They talk about him here. He's the number one merch guy right now on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah.
And like they said something about him 2 weeks ago, scapegoat, love your work. It'd be a great time for him to come back as well.
It'd be a fantastic time. What if this whole thing was just like, you know, they're like, hey, we're going to use a CM Punk interview. We're going to bring Jack Perry back, right? Because Jack Perry's under contract the whole time. And this AEW does this. They did it with Megan Bain, right? And it's like, hey, we're going to send you over to Japan for, you know, 6 months a year, whatever, right? You know, you're still under contract with them. And he's playing along the whole scapegoat shtick to kind of get his character along. But my God, like in Chicago, not 4 days later, and was like, this is what we all made mention, specifically you, Jamie. You were harping big about this after the first, the brawl out. After it's like, you make money out of this. You take this and you make money out of it. What is wrong with all these people, right? You know, Punk, Bucks, all of them, right? Who's doing that right now? Perry. He's the only one that's like, fuck you guys. I'm making money off of this shit. And he is. He is killing it.
Yeah, I think not only is this a good time to bring him back, I think this is the best time to bring him back. Yeah. I don't think you'll get any more steam behind a return than having him come out and helping the Bucks win on Sunday.
I mean, you'll get heat, but it's that good heat that you want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think if you wait too much longer, or if you're just not planning on bringing him back immediately... Out. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be nearly as relevant. I mean, he'll still get some kind of return pop, but he's topical right now. He's being talked about right now. Now's the time to bring him back and align him with the Bucks.
And it looks like they're not going to be, because the word on the street is that the Guns are going to sign with AEW, naturally, right? But it's going to be a little while. There's still TV obligations that they have to kind of like, they've already shot and done fulfilled with TNA, but for the next, like, I think 3 or 4 weeks, you know, they're still going to be featured on TNA programming. And they said they're still working out the contract details. It's going to be a little bit before they sign is the last kind of update that I heard from respectable sheets. So if you're not bringing the guns out in this match, Perry definitely is the place to go.
I don't think you have to bring the guns out in this match anyway. I would save that for Dynamite.
Right. If you're, well, it's going to be weeks before they're ready is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Apparently. But I mean, like, when you do it, do that on free TV. Like, let people know, like, hey, cool people can show up at any time. Well, Jamie, I think...
Yeah, Jay brought the idea that it'd be a good kind of way to do that, because after, you know, after Bucks win, FTR is out of the picture, maybe off to court, who knows. Insert the guns, right? But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, like that's what, like I say, I like the idea of the guns being the next feud, and if we get that double or nothing, guns and Bucks, hell yeah, sign me up.
Yeah.
I just think if you have them available, debuting them at the pay-per-view is probably less ideal than debuting them on TV. If you're not advertising them ahead of time, everyone that was going to buy the pay-per-view already bought it anyway. Throw them out there on Dynamite. Like,
I'm with you. Yeah. They're not going to get any more buys.
Yeah, I hope Heather they agrees show with up. Us.
Welcome in, Heather. Yeah. Sorry, we're a little late tonight.
Yeah, and I already told Heather, too. Like, I'm a man of my word. Like, the first AEW... guns shirt, I will buy it for her.
To answer your question, Rob, Avril asked Mart how he's out. No, he's not. He's already said he's very amicable, that he's actually weighing options. It's a possibility that maybe he does come back to AEW. And if he does not, which I don't think he will, he'll probably go to WWE to finish his stuff. That doesn't mean that he said there's no ill will. Most everybody I've ever talked to, most of everybody that's ever been talked to, I haven't talked to them, but most everybody has been talked to about leaving AEW, with one notable exception, has been, well, there's been a couple smaller exceptions, but one notable exception, everybody else has been like, nah, they're fantastic. I love working there. I'd go back. Sure. Right. Everybody said that. Everybody's been that way. So I don't think he's out. I think it's more likely he's back in WWE though, to kind of do that sunset run. Right.
I actually wouldn't be surprised to see him show back up in Impact for that, or TNA now for that sunset run.
Yeah.
I think just from, now granted, this could have been like storyline stuff, but it was more so Jeff, but the Hardys kind of getting on social media about being underutilized and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do in WWE? He'll be sitting in catering or chasing the new 24/7 title they come out with in 6 months. I think Impact can use him more in a way he would want to be used. Or I keep calling it Impact. I guess they're TNA now. But TNA. I think there's just more interesting stuff to do with him there. I don't think he really fits into modern WWE.
I hear you. I hear that.
They did the Bring the Hardys Back in a nostalgia thing. I don't think we need to see that again.
But yeah, we don't need to see the Hardys. Yeah. Hardys as they once were, too old to do that.
Yeah. When your time comes. And it's not the Hardys anymore.
But you could do the broken gimmick well into your old age, 100%.
Absolutely.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Well, it's all right. Jamie's favorite time of the week.
Yep, it's bash on Chris Jericho time, ladies and gentlemen. But we're not alone. We're far from alone. I think there might be like 6 to 10 people who are not on the bash Chris Jericho crew.
Yeah, Chris Jericho's immediate family.
Yeah, that's, I don't even know about that. I guess Hook and Chris Jericho were going to broker something, and Taz got attacked because Jericho, wanted a shot at the FTW championship. I don't know. It made zero sense. Everybody was against it. But somehow, some way, shocker to all of us on this show, Hook versus Chris Jericho on Dynasty for the FTW Championship. No one saw this coming. No way in hell was he going to find his way on that pay-per-view. And somehow he did.
We just watched Hook beat him like 3 weeks ago.
So you know he's losing.
Sure
like,
did.
Jericho's going to go over and bury Hook. Because that makes all the sense in the world.
I hope not.
And Hook is not allowed to speak on TV. For all of us.
It's just stop it. Just stop this. Please. For the life of God. It's booked now. It's on the pay-per-view. Whatever. Everybody knows, hey, when do you go prepare your stacks? Use the bathroom? We all know now, right? Let this be it, please. God, stop this.
They should have an option on, I think they're on Triller now because they moved on from Bleacher Report. So they're on something with an app.
Oh, they're still on Bleacher Report. You can still do them on Bleacher Report, but you can also do them on Triller, YouTube, and
I would like a pay-per-view option where maybe instead of $50, I pay $45 and you just black out the Chris Jericho match for me. I wouldn't pay less. I would pay more. I would pay them $55. An extra fiver. There's Abe Lincoln right there for
maybe
you.
Maybe on YouTube you can they can do that. And what they'll do is for that match, they'll do like the YouTube like moment of zens that they have, you know, it's from time to time, right?
Have y'all seen on their YouTube page, they've got like a 4-hour video that's just lo-fi beats over Orange Cassidy matches? Give me that on the stream instead of the Jericho match, and I will pay you $5 extra every view. Tony Khan, that was my business deal. I know you're a businessman. Mm-hmm. I think you handed over the CEO-ship to Mercedes Moné, but you make some deals. That's my pitch to you. Let's make that happen.
I'd pay $10 at this point. Hell, I might even pay an additional $50 just so I never have to see Jericho. Like, if everybody would chip in on pay-per-view buys, $50 extra, and Chris Jericho is no longer on TV. Would you do it?
The AEW fan buyout of Chris Jericho. it's like if you can't see and hear what's going on, what are you doing here? And I know it's 100% Jericho. Jericho's the one telling him, don't worry about him. This is all part of the plan, right? He's got way too much rain. Let's move on.
Like, how many feuds can you have in a row that just completely miss before someone pulls you aside and is just like, bro, that ain't it. As we've discussed on the show before, make him your authority figure. He can still get his ego stroked. He can be an important part of the show. And he would probably kill it in that role. Like, that seems very... very tailored to what we enjoy from Chris Jericho historically. But I mean, this goes back, what, a year now, if not more. The Adam Cole feud was what, last summer, around this time last year, that was just god awful. And it only got worse from there.
Oh, that's so bad.
It's all been bad.
And then him and Sammy fighting each other again. And it's just like, come
and
on.
They're
now.
Together. And then they're fighting. And then the whole thing with the Don Callis family. It's just like, oh my God.
Which means zero sense.
Just stop. And we're going to stop. Let's move swiftly away from this, Jamie.
Yeah, let's move swiftly on to the second part of the go home promos of the night. You had Swerves, and he vowed to see Samoa Joe in the ring tonight when he was sitting with Renee.
Yeah.
You know, good. It was fine. I mean, he responded to the choke artist thing, which I thought was very well done. But it's time for Swerve. The era of Swerve is upon us.
He leaned heavily into his military background, which he never has before. Which I thought telling, because A, that means he's 100% face. Right? No heels out there saying, it's like, I went and fought and died for our country. So he's leaning into that. But I just thought that was a little bit interesting, kind of a little extra zing he kind of threw in there.
I just appreciated a very strong babyface promo from the babyface half of the championship match of the pay-per-view.
Yep.
This was This was great because this was different from a lot of promos we've heard from Swerve in the past. But he still had that little bit of edge about him. He was still Swerve, but this was a white meat babyface promo 101. And yeah, he killed it.
Yeah.
So good. He's so good right now. And he's so over. Good. He's so hot right now.
So hot. Oh my God.
They're leaked. All right. So then you actually had your women's match of the night, gentlemen. You had Mariah May versus Deonna Purrazzo.
Decent match.
With Tony Storm and Luther. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a decent match, I think. I really have nothing bad to say about the match itself.
Yeah, the match was enjoyable. Nice little showcase your women's talent that have storylines going on. But then the match ended and
it's confusing, right?
It's just not good.
Yeah, Deonna.
Not terrible, but like no reason to give a shit.
I mean, you had the one thing that is a kind of like a connecting thread. You had Thunder Rosa smearing the off-color lipstick all over her face in response to the smearing of her face paint she did last week.
Yeah.
That's after she gets in a shoving match with Deonna Purrazzo, which I want to have those two go at each other for like a blood feud for the next like month. That'd actually be enjoyable to watch, not going to lie, right? Mariah's kind of there, not really there. Luther gets his shit turned in. That was funny.
he did.
Yeah.
So when I was saying earlier that they're close, they just need to like lock it in.
Yeah.
You're almost there. Like nothing wrong with the pieces you have in place. Nothing wrong with some elements of what you had plans, but you're not telling a cohesive story or like getting us really interested in what's going on from here. Kind of like we talked about earlier about them not having really a top heel or a top baby face, which Willow should be.
Yeah.
Why are Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa shoving each other? Like your enemies are the bad guys in the ring right now that have been bad guys this entire time.
And here's my retort to that. And Jamie, hear me on this. I want to hear what you think about this because I don't think you need to have Tony Storm wrestling either one of them right now. You could do I never lost my title. I have a right to it. She tapped out to me. I was cheated out of it. They both have a valid claim and they can go on a blood feud for the next like 3-4 weeks, right? A month. Maybe even have a big fallout at the pay-per-view. Now, neither one of them's face, neither one of them's heel, but they're both basically vying for the face spot, right? And A, it gives them both a pop and a bump. At the end of it, you can have that you're the better woman. They're both face, right? You know, makes more sense than this whole sort of whatever they're doing with the two of them. And you keep it a little fresh because you're not just rolling somebody out to lose to Tony Storm every single pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I think you could do that and you could start it after the pay-per-view. What tonight should have been was Thunder Rosa coming out and making the save and then Deonna and Thunder Rosa making an agreement of, you know what, Rosa, you've got the shot on Sunday. I'll be at ringside to make sure Mariah May and Luther stay in their lane. But when you win that title, you give me the shot. You get your baby faces, shake hands about it. Now your heel that has just been having her lackeys cheat, starting to get into Britt Baker territory. Now she's got some jeopardy. Now there's some backup. Now she did the thing. It seems like no one in pro wrestling, really either company, has done in years, which is those bad guys are there in numbers and they always cheat. I'm going to find someone to come and just like watch my back. Because that's what a rational, intelligent adult would do. And I get that it's storytelling and it's entertainment. Sometimes the logic has to go out. but it doesn't have to go out all the time. Can one of your baby faces be smart enough to get some backup and just make sure the heels don't do the thing they do every single time, month in and month out?
What do you think, Jamie? Prologic?
This is what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
Tony's going to win.
Yes.
Tony was already slated to win. But you guys have hit the nail on the head. We are clamoring for a true babyface. And rumor has it one of them is very close to returning. And I'm hoping St. Louis will have that moment. And literally right after Timeless Tony Storm is crowned victor, here comes Jamie Hayter.
Please.
With some backup.
With Britt?
No Britt.
Oh.
With like Megan Bain and somebody who's not used very often, but she'll have her little crew. Maybe one of the Stardom girls.
Okay.
Because obviously Jamie was from Stardom as well. So she comes with a little crew, my crew versus your crew. You can set up some six-woman action going on, and then eventually you get those two, Timeless Tony Storm and Jamie Hayter, who also never lost her title, in a steel cage, first women's steel cage match.
No, it's not. That's how Thunder Rosa won the title. Steel cage of San Antonio.
Yeah.
I don't dislike that. I don't think if Jamie Hayter comes back Sunday, I don't think she needs to come back with backup on Sunday. I think that first big return, she should just come out and clear house, which she should be able to do anyway, given what we've seen of her in the past compared to a lot of the rest of the women's division. Right. I think you give her that big triumphant return afterwards to clear out Mariah, May, and Tony, say she's come for the title. Then over the weeks to come, you build a story, bring in some backup, and you kind of pair them all up. Like, I'm cool with all that. But I think if we get Jamie Hayter back on Sunday, you immediately forget about the last, like, 2 months of Tony Storm's run where it was just kind of not really having that other half. I think they desperately need Jamie Hayter right now.
Which, yep. That kills me more than anything because, like I said, you've got a fantastic built-in story with Thunder Rosa. You have one of the best female wrestlers in the world in Deonna Purrazzo, and you could have had that going on this whole time without even really involving Toni Storm in this. And then you bring Jamie Hayter back, and she fits into this picture even better. But
yeah,
here we are.
And I think it's probably more the booking and the storytelling than on the talents themselves, but never had a reason to really get behind Deonna or Thunder Rosa, which Thunder Rosa coming back as a challenger to Tony when it first she first came back and they started teasing all that, you got excited about it. Like, this is something fun for Tony to do, because we had seen that from Thunder Rosa in the past where she was their biggest female star and she was super over with the crowd, but it just has not really connected the same way since she's been back. And they need Jamie Hayter to come, because I think Hayter returning will cement her as a top baby face.
She's got Hayter's got that it factor to it. Yeah, Jamie,
for sure.
Yeah.
And also you kind of got the rug pulled out from under you on Hayter finally getting the belt and run with it. So like people are excited for her to like continue that.
The pop for her will be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in St. Louis, because St. Louis does appreciate some good women's wrestling.
Well, we're going to have to see this Sunday. That's for sure.
And we won't be there. I'm a sad panda.
That's okay.
Hey, so we got the most anticlimactic news that we knew was coming. The Ring of Honor Trios Champions, the Bang Bang Gang, Bullet Club Gold, challenges the Acclaim for a winner-take-all unification match.
No.
I know. None of us saw this coming, guys. Did not see this coming.
Get this over with.
Acclaim did accept, and this match will happen on 0 Hour.
Right place in the match. For it. Let's get through this. Just give them all the belts and do the Acclaimed as a regular tag team. Let's go. Let's move on. Come on.
Yeah. Then we have two matches left, gents. We have Shane Taylor Promotions going up against Orange Cassidy. So you, you had Shane Taylor, and then he had Lee Moriarty and Anthony Ogogo with him. You know, it was fine. And then here comes Trent. Like, I am interested in this Trent Beretta storyline. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm not gonna.
The post match. Sure, I mean, the match was fine.
The match was fine, but the post was where it was at.
Post was where it was at.
But why the hell is Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal the ones coming out?
Well, and they kind of hinted at it because Shane Taylor Promotions has been kind of running this, and I appreciate the what they're doing with it, right? Because they're trying to find a way to get him over. Shane Taylor, longtime ROH guy, right? You know, so they're giving him his kind of spotlight, which I appreciate that, right? Plus, they're using it. They're trying to prop up Lee, who I've long been a fan of Lee Moriarty. I feel like he's got the skill for it. I think his character work needs some tweaking. So they're trying to put in with, you know, Shane Taylor and toughen him up a little bit. Plus they're going to make another run at Anthony Ogogo, whatever, right? But they've been doing this run rough shot bit, right? They're just beating up everybody, right? So you have the two kind of stand-up guys from the locker room, Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal, come out, right? Not because they're invested specifically in Orange. They're there for the good of, like, the good. There's your typical, like, you talk about, Austin, the good guys come to save the good guys out from the locker room.
That was my moment of the night. Just, I saw Christopher Daniels decide, and the fact that commentary put it over, like, they're not necessarily friends of Orange Cassidy, but they saw this happening. They had to come out and do something. That's what baby faces are supposed to do. That's what we need more of, is sometimes, and that's, we almost, granted, it's more so when people are messing with his crew, but that's kind of what we get from Mox a little bit. Like, Mox is a guy that will show up just because someone's being a bully and fight him because he likes fighting people, especially bullies. Yeah, I love that moment of commentary putting over them running out to help, because Orange Cassidy's a likable guy. They're good guys. Like, let's maybe stop all three of these guys from kicking the shit out of him for a few minutes.
But Trent, though.
Here comes Trent with the chair
in the face.
Still wearing their tag team tournament T-shirt too. Which I think is an excellent.
Trent and Orange for the big one.
I think this is something fun to do with Orange Cassidy too, because he's been part of the Best Friends as long as there's been an AEW, pretty much. Yeah. And it's. Like, that's one of the few things we haven't got to see from Orange Cassidy yet. What happens when he actually wrestles one of his friends, who's, like, not his friend anymore because he beat him up, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, commentary touched base on that at the beginning, right? They've always seen him with the friends, right? But here's the thing. This is one of your biggest stars, right? This guy pumps out merch for you, right? Over everywhere he goes, never puts on a bad match. He's a top guy. Treat him like a top guy and give him that kind of platform to be on his own, which I appreciate that, right? Because I've seen Trent, or I've seen Orange, you know, in solo from old indie stuff, right, that I'd watch on the internets, and it's great. Let's see if it works for the masses. I think it can, and I think it's good to do this way. So I think nobody loses in this feud, especially us, because those blow-off matches we're going to have between Trent and Orange are going to be fucking fire.
Yeah, those are going to be great.
So,
speaking of great matches,
let's just put a nightcap on it, gentlemen. You had two men who have never had a bad match, and you put them together, and shockingly, they did not have a bad match.
They had a banger.
And if anything, I thought, I mean, obviously it's match of the night, but that's
by far.
That's like saying, hey, I drink water, you know, like it's one of those things. Like, this match lived up to the hype. It was not long enough, but again, it's free TV. I could see this match going for another 25 minutes and I've been ecstatic. But man, those two men are special. Like, we put over Ospreay so much. I don't feel like I've done Claudio as much justice as he deserves, because Jiminy Christmas, man. This guy.
Claudio in general gets that.
Yeah.
Claudio, he's going to be remembered like Jake Roberts and Mr. Perfect. The guys that should have had a run with the main title somewhere, but never quite got it. Claudio is everything you could want in a world wrestling champion of any company, really.
Yeah.
And like you said, he doesn't have a bad match. Now, Ospreay doesn't either. And Ospreay is kind of looked at as the best guy in the world right now. But Claudio will have a great match with anybody. Yeah. And yeah, this was exactly as good as you'd expect it to be.
If this was the 1940s, he would have a Bruno Sammartino-esque title reign.
100%.
Absolutely.
I mean, we could pontificate on this all night, but it's just like the reversals from both sides were just mind-bending. Strength versus agility, and just the both. I mean, never as a, and you see it on paper and you're like, yep, that makes sense. And then you see it in person and you're like, exactly what I thought, in the best way possible. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. Not much you can even add. Like, it was flames. You knew it was gonna be flames. It was flames.
So Ospreay, of course, wins with the Hidden Blade, which is arguably might be my new favorite finisher. Like, I love that damn thing. I know he's got like 26 different freaking finishers, but that Hidden Blade is just sick. But then, of course, you know, once that happens, the rest of the Don Callis family hits the ring, starts attacking Claudio, and then here comes Mox, and, you know, that's a thing. Ospreay, though, did yell at the family for getting involved. So this is that face turn and him leaving the family. It's coming.
He's never been full heel, even though he's been associated with the Don Callis family. So,
yeah, I kind of wish they would have just pulled the Band-Aid off this sooner, though. Because he hasn't been all in with the Callis family or really involved much at all. Callis came out on commentary with Rusty Takeshita, and like Ospreay Takeshita was great. And I up to that point, it made sense because he still had to acknowledge it because he was part of it 6 months ago or whatever. But after that, it should have just been pull that Band-Aid off, just kind of get him away from them. Because, yeah, this moment would have meant more if he would have been involved with them at all, not just coming out and cutting promos and having matches by himself for the last month or so.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping we can get totally clean with him and Danielson. That's my only hope for Dynasty.
Well, and speaking of Danielson, he got announced for a match with Claudio against Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher for Collision. It's a bunkhouse brawl.
I mean,
oh yeah, I love a bunkhouse brawl
with those four men too. Oh,
yeah, Collision. Yeah,
people need to quit sleeping on Kyle Fletcher. Because that match with him and Ospreay, that's two to tango, and both of them brought it. It was
Kyle Fletcher's like an 8 year younger Ospreay.
Yeah, maybe not.
Not as aerial, but he's got it.
Yeah, that's going to be phenomenal.
Oh. All right, so we hit the nightcap with Swerve coming out, calling out Joe's fat ass, the BBL, his BBL ass. I died when he said that. of course, Joe comes out with a ton of security.
Dan the dad was what? There too. Dan,
yeah, Dan was there, wasn't he?
He absolutely was there. Yep,
as security. Yeah, and what happens? Swerve stops all the security off the top rope, dude. That was
one of the coolest like things I've ever seen in that situation, because 99% of the time it never works out where you get a bunch of indie guys that are pretending to be security guards timing their bumps right. But the fact that he landed right in the middle, they slowed down his momentum just enough to kind of sell the move, and they all kind of just collapse at the same time. Right. And then he just lands on his feet like a fucking superhero.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah. And it wasn't a crossbody or a somersault dive. It was him doing a stomp to a group of men.
It almost had like a super movie, a superhero movie effect to it. Almost yeah. like he stomped the ground and the shockwave sent them all flying. Like it, it's one of those things that it was executed so like it could not have been executed more perfectly. And I think if it wasn't executed perfectly, it would have looked kind of lame. But damn, that was awesome.
Jamie, we've seen a very similar spot once before. Do you remember the spot I'm talking about?
No.
So back in when Journey Pro, pre-pandemic Journey Pro, when they were at Kansas Hall, they had a collaboration show with Zello Pro out of Chicago. It was okay, Journey yeah. Pro versus Zello Pro, and the main event was a 5-on-5 elimination tag match. I had the surprise entrant of Kylie Ray, Smiley Kylie Ray from Zello Pro, and Gary J was in it, a whole bunch of other stuff. Jay Fowler was in at the time too, and he was Buns of Steel at the time. So at the beginning, everybody's in there and everybody's fighting over this and that, who to do this. And he does, because his whole gimmick at the time was the ass, right? You know, so he does this like sit down, you know, butt, you know, onto the, you know, land on his ass sort of thing, and the entire ring they all fall over at the right at the same time. It was fantastic.
Hell I do yeah. remember that now.
You do remember that? That was so good. That's how he that started so the ago. Match. Yeah, that was a while ago.
That was like the last show before they shut down.
Oh, they had one more after that. That was the That's second right. to last. Yep.
Okay. So, gentlemen, did tonight make you more excited, didn't change, or even less excited for upcoming Dynasty?
I would say no change.
Yeah, I don't think it made me more excited. I was, you know, ever since they announced Dynasty and they get and led with the Danielson Ospreay, it's like, okay, nothing's going to, yes, I'm there.
Not actually, I got to change my answer. I'm going to say less excited only because they added a Chris Jericho.
They added a Chris Jericho FTW championship match. Yes. Okay, touche.
Yeah. Like, so 2% less excited because the rest of the cards going to slap.
Before you say it, I will say this. It does make me more excited for Dynamite moving forward. I feel, again, to echo what I said at the beginning of the show, I felt like it was a good way to rebound last week. Last week you did a straight viewer grab. It kind of backfired a little bit on you. You got back to what you do, and I appreciate that.
Card. For sure. So here's the card as we know it right now. Always subject to change. There's a lot of matches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah.
6.
Ten
matches.
Oh, Jesus.
So you start off with 0 Hour. The only one announced for 0 Hour is the Acclaim versus Bullet Club Gold. You have the FTW Championship, Hook versus Jericho. You have Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe going up against the House of Black. That match will be great. You have the TBS Championship, Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale.
I can see that going to 0 Hour.
You have the AEW Continental Championship, which is the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada versus Pac.
Don't sleep on that.
Then, hey, this one, best friends going at it, Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly for the International Championship. Don't sleep on that one. That's probably going to steal the show. Not even going to lie. Then, of course, you have the AEW World Tag Team Championship of the Young Bucks versus FTR.
Ladder match.
You have AEW Women's World Championship, Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. Arguably the best match of the entire card, Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. Give me some of that. And then, of course, you end it with the crowning of Swerve Strickland against Samoa Joe for the AEW World Championship.
I mean, you look at that card. You got 4 matches on there that are just like, wow. And a 5, if you include, because it's the FTR Young Bucks is always fantastic, and they're doing a ladder match. That's...
Dude, it's absolutely stacked.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
It's pretty crazy.
And it can be yours for $50.
I feel like we felt the exact same thing about Revolution leading into that, too. Is it just looked absolutely stacked. And they, regardless of what happens on TV, which really outside of last week, Dynamite's still been very good more often than not. Their ability to put a card together for a pay-per-view, like, they just, they don't miss on take my $50, please. Even if you're going to throw Chris Jericho on there.
Right.
You're going to surround it with one of the best damn wrestling shows you'll see all year.
You got to have a time to go to the bathroom. At least it lets you know when to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's probably going to be like the second match of the freaking thing.
Maybe they'll they'll move it to 0 hour.
Oh, that'd be the best
thing ever. I bet you they're going to move the TBS title to 0 hour, depending on Julia's shoulder. That feels to me.
I think, yeah, if they're going to do something gimmicky, I could totally see them doing that on 0 hour. I could
see them do that on 0 hour.
But even then, like, you could still move Chris Jericho to 0 hour, do your gimmicky TBS title thing on the pay-per-view to cut some time. Because you've got some matches that I want to see a good long while of.
Right.
Ospreay and Danielson's probably going to go like 40.
More likely. Okada Pac, that's at least 20, 25 minimum.
Give me a good,
that match could be amazing.
Say, give me a good 20 of House of Black versus Canadian Fried Chicken or whatever they were calling. Edge Kingston and Mark Briscoe. I forgot what their funny name was. But
yeah.
Yeah, like, give me a solid 20 of that. I think that's going to be phenomenal. Yeah, just absolute banger of a pay-per-view.
And Rob, you're very correct. Young Bucks, when they beat the Jurassic Express for the tag team titles in St. Louis, it was also a ladder match. Interesting.
Ooh. And ladder matches are no DQ.
I think we're getting Jungle Boy.
Gotta be Jungle Boy. I mean, it's a ladder match in the place where he lost the tag team title to the same people in the same building, and it's gotta be Perry. Anyway,
I'm in. Let's make it happen.
I'm excited for it. You excited for it, Jamie? You asked us. What about you?
You know, I am very sad that I am unable to go see that live.
Same.
And it's so close. Like, that's the thing. Like,
that's why. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, be able to see Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson in person against each other. Hear the coin drop in person. That's all I want. I mean, really. Like, I am a Okada stan, man. Like, I just want to hear that coin drop in person. And the fact that Heidi got to see it at when she went to Japan, was it last year? Oh. Still haunts me. Because it's like, I know somebody who saw it, you know, like in Japan, you know, like. Hey,
but now that he's here regularly, it's only a matter of time for they travel through Kansas City, and hopefully it's a Dynamite, not a Collision, and you get some Okada. Although we're getting Okada on Collision this week.
We are. And too bad it's not in Kansas City, where it should be. Because, you know, it's only 4 hours away from the show. But,
and then,
yes,
and then
Rob, make a total Spot Fest thing so we can see it on TV.
Free promotion is always well appreciated. Well, and they're moving forward. So after next week, next week's in like, I don't even know where next week is, but they actually, it's weird. They got Loveland, Colorado, and they've been doing like more kind of medium size markets, you know. I wonder if that's just a temporary thing. Maybe they're just testing the waters, trying some different, you know, communities instead of going to large markets, you know. Because if they were coming through St. Louis, they would come through Kansas City, 100%, right? Yeah. Every time they have. There's been a St. Louis show, there's also been a Kansas City show. So it's just kind of interesting because, I mean, this Saturday, they're in Peoria, Illinois, right? So it's just, it's kind of interesting. I just find it very interesting that they were in Huntsville, West Virginia, or Huntington, West Virginia last week. I don't know if that says anything or not. I just think it's interesting.
Agreed.
All right, guys. Final thoughts on the weekend wrestling.
Don't be sleeping on WWE anymore. Like, I'm officially back in. Fridays is so damn exciting. I got it. Mondays is Mondays.
Mondays is
like
still
43
Mondays,
minutes of actual wrestling. But in that 2 hours of SmackDown, it's so good. The storytelling is really good right now. Mm-hmm. The camera angles, the big FU to Kevin Dunn.
Oh, I love that.
Like, dude,
so
like what they're doing right now is making me excited to watch WWE again. And
I don't know why. The production's the best I've seen in a wrestling show probably ever.
I saw the clips of Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, and Rey Mysterio from SmackDown, and that looked phenomenal.
It was.
I gave them my time and attention the Monday night after Mania. And I just don't know if I'm ready to be heard again.
I was the same way.
Fridays are fire right now.
All right. Austin, let's you and I give off Friday a shot, because I was the same way as you. I gave them, hey, it's going to, it wasn't.
I will consider it. My wife is wrestling in Denver this Friday, so I will be I will be hanging out at the house with the dogs, and maybe I will give SmackDown a try, because Raw has just hurt me too many times.
So Raw is that a new promotion that she's on, she's doing?
Circle Six runs they kind of tour around. They don't run regularly in any one place, but it's a deathmatch promotion.
Ooh.
I don't think her match is an actual death match, though, but it's in a bar. Like, it's
bar wrestling is the best. I love bar wrestling.
It's like a bar fights death match kind of thing. I think hers would be more like a bar fight than an actual death match. But it's they're only doing three matches. They've got burlesque performers and live music and stuff. It's they kind of make an event out of it every time they do a show somewhere.
I love bar wrestling. That brings me back to old school Journey Pro again. First time seeing Warhorse. We were right by the bar, and so was Warhorse, because he was fighting the dude on the bar 2 feet from us.
I always love wrestling in like bars and breweries and other fun venues where you can just kind of like do different shit.
Cool venues. Bring back cool venues, guys. All right. We will get picks this weekend. We will have a champion crowned. Hopefully all three of us are going to agree on the results this week, because one of us is definitely playing some sour grapes over there, it looks like. But regardless,
I'm standing up for the people is what I'm doing. I'm making sure everything's fair and right down the middle.
We will have the results next week. We'll give you our thoughts on Dynasty. If you haven't already, it's going to be JB went over the card. It's going to be fucking bonkers, right? It is available on more than just Bleacher Report, finally. So definitely, if you're in the U.S., get it on Triller or YouTube. Don't use Bleacher Report, please. Don't use it. Let's show them with our wallet what we really think of their shitty production. But we'll get you our results. See who the champion is after this weekend, and talk about next week's show. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Again, a reminder, we will be live on the 10th for Fountain City Pros pre-show for their next event at the Ball Event Center in Olathe, Kansas. Tickets are still available. If you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets. If you live in Kansas City, you're going to be around here on May 10th. We will see you there. FountainCityPro.com. We'll have more information coming up in the next couple weeks here. But thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you giving us some of your time. Jamie, take us home.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not down with Total Spot Fest, I got six words for you.
We have them together.
I'm the reigning, defending, undisputed champion.
Funny, usually the champion's got a belt, but we'll see what's up with that next week, I guess.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.